Hello there. Welcome to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Swanik Jake Moore, and I started Pathfinder 101 with the intention of examining various professions beyond the basics by interacting with experienced professionals from various careers. This blog and podcast are from a high schooler's point of view. I hope you benefit from some of the information provided in the various blog posts and interviews. Today, we're going to focus on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. In each of these four fields, many more subfields exist, as different combinations of the main four. My focus today is engineering, specifically mechanical engineering. Like other areas, some mechanical engineers choose academia to teach in universities or schools and involve themselves in some form of research. Others choose to join engineering firms and develop products or devices or machinery. Today's interview will be focused on the latter. We will be talking with Dr. Mike Norman, a mechanical engineer who works in the aerospace and defense specialty. He has worked at Boeing and now currently works at Northrop Grumman. We'll be hearing about why he chose to pursue mechanical engineering and the different factors that have helped him in his journey to where he is today. Hi, Mr. Norman.
Thank you very much for taking the time out of your schedule for this interview. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
So I would like to take you back to your high school days when you were thinking about your college, your career. I'm assuming that you were probably in a similar situation like me, with a bit of confusion and uncertainty in choosing the right path. And after a few years, you have a successful career today. And I'm sure you learned a lot during this journey, and we're just trying to learn that information from you. So what did you want to become when you were a high school student, and what different factors made you consider this, such as parents or certain experiences?
Sure, yeah. So when I was in high school, I had a pretty strong focus on kind of a dual path for science-based things and also photography. That was kind of my creative outlet. And so for a little while there was kind of a I don't know if I'd call it a tension, but like I left it as a question mark which one I would pursue kind of as my long-term career. I think it's valuable to keep both of those things around. Like that was something that I really appreciate still to this day. But when I was looking at degrees, I love technical things. I love the math behind it, and so I ended up going into an engineering program and kind of kept photography up as a hobby and kind of worked towards a minor in that subject in my undergraduate experience. So I think at the high school level, there's not much to distinguish between, or at least when I was at St. Mark's, there wasn't much that distinguished between like training and learning for an engineering application or a career versus a science application or a career. And so those kind of went hand in hand.
So what were the different factors that you considered when choosing your college?
So I was looking for there are a couple of things. One, I wanted to do something that was pretty different from Dallas. I love Dallas. I love my family there, all my friends there, and all that stuff, but it was also a good opportunity to kind of see another part of the country that, other weather patterns that I don't get to see. So I ended up, so I was looking somewhere that wasn't kind of in Texas. That was a big part of it. I was looking for a good technical school that also had some arts aspects to it. I have some family, some distant family that's up in the Northeast in the Pennsylvania area. So I ended up through a lot of different factors choosing to go to Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, as it fit a lot of those bills there. And that's kind of on the, on the academic and kind of environment side. There was a lot that spoke to me when I visited there. It seemed like a really good match, and it's really hard to kind of put my finger on, the specific things that felt right. But like during the college visit, it felt right. And the financial aid packages were made it something that was feasible for me to consider as well.
Could you talk a little bit about your journey through college and after college to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. So when I went into college, I went into the School of Engineering, and they had essentially a lot of schools end up doing this where like your freshman year you kind of enroll in a school. But you don't necessarily pick out a specialty yet. And so during my freshman year, it was my I got to experience kind of the introductory coursework for a chemical engineering program and also a mechanical engineering program. And I ended up going down the mechanical engineering route. There was, it was a really good program there. Carnegie Mellon has a fantastic robotics institute. They do a lot of kind of computer science stuff. And that was kind of speaking to me as well, that like there's this opportunity for kind of looking across technical disciplines. And I was able to take advantage of that there. A lot of the extracurricular stuff, you know, it meshed well with engineering activities. I spent a lot of my free time was spent doing like, I don't really want to get into the specifics of it, but it was essentially like a student-led racing program where you design buggies that have a human driver to go around a race course. So that was a multi-year effort. It was an opportunity to kind of connect with a lot of different groups. There were those extracurriculars through that buggy program. I worked at the library, going through like old student newspapers to find keywords for people to use in their research. I was a projectionist at the student movie theater for several years and got to help pick out films that we would be showing for the different semesters. So, you know, I think it was kind of a great opportunity to like try a lot of different roles that don't necessarily follow you later on, right? Like, I'm not ever going to have a chance to be a film projectionist again. I'm not going to be part of a racing team designing a vehicle anymore, or archiving books at the library. But like, it was a unique experience, and it introduced me to a lot of people that I really appreciated at that time. When I graduated from Carnegie Mellon, I was pretty set on being an engineer. Like, that was totally the right path for me, as opposed to being a scientist. That was pretty like clear cut at the first semester. You know, scientists are wonderful people, but the hands-on engineering applications were something that really spoke to me. Since I was a kid, so going back a little bit further, you know, I loved outer space. I'm wearing a Big Dipper t-shirt at the moment because that's what I do in my free time now. I was trying to figure out when I graduated and in the year leading up to graduation, kind of what work field I'd want to go into. And my degree in mechanical engineering is great for a lot of things, but I came out not necessarily knowing as much about like space applications as I wanted to. I kind of decided that the best way to get that would be to pursue a graduate degree. So I applied to a whole bunch of PhD programs during my senior year. I ended up going to Cornell. They had a combined mechanical and aerospace engineering program that kind of helped with that transition. I could leverage my background in mechanical engineering and also kind of get that aerospace side that I needed to kind of pursue a career in this area. So my graduate school experience, that was also a really good step, I think, for me in pursuing this particular path. It's very different from undergrad. You're not, you know, you get to take classes kind of, well, I mean, there's coursework, but it's not quite as predetermined, I think. Like, you've got, at least in my experience, there was like, you know, a year and a half worth of course material that you had to take. And then the rest of the 5 years, you could fill up with things that matched your interests and that you could support in your dissertation research. So that kind of freedom to pursue things that were really interesting to me and I thought would be worthwhile and were really engaging, that was a really good experience too. At the end of the day, it was fruitful. So right now I'm working as I do modeling and simulation for space architectures. I've been doing that for about 12 years now in a professional capacity at a couple of different companies. Did that cover all the bases that you're looking for?
Yeah.
Okay.
So given your current exposure to different fields, would you do anything differently if you could go back in time?
You know, you had that question in your email, and I had to ponder about that one. And I there are things I could have done differently, but I don't think I would have. You know, it would have been quicker to go into aerospace engineering and get to like the job area that I'm currently working in if I had gone to into an aerospace engineering degree program. But like, if I did that, I wouldn't have necessarily had the same push to go pursue that graduate degree when I came out of my undergrad experience. I mean, even my graduate degree, it's still technically a mechanical engineering degree. I didn't learn my lesson there. So I don't think I would change anything with that. You know, it was a good step to kind of stay academic and have that opportunity to really become a subject matter expert in a lot of the technical pieces that I work on now. You know, early career was, it's a challenge. I think that was the most challenging part of that whole story coming from high school out until now, was kind of that transition from grad school into my first couple of jobs. You know, the unfortunate truth was at the time, like the market wasn't great for the position that I trained for. A lot of, when I graduated from my PhD program, you know, there were not a lot of places were hiring mechanical engineers or aerospace engineers to do space stuff. So I spent my time doing internships at the end of my graduate student career to try to build connections, but even those didn't really prove fruitful. So, you know, I did get a job that it was good. It was in my area, but it was not necessarily as researchy as I'd want. It was kind of doing more operations stuff, which was great, but it wasn't really using the graduate experience that I had. So I looked for opportunities to transition away from that relatively quickly. So, you know, even then though, like I don't really regret taking that job. There wasn't another option at the time.
What role, if any, have mentors played in your journey?
Fairly substantial one. You know, I still am in contact with people from St. Mark's you know, have connections there that I had as teachers there, especially in technical areas. You know, there are a lot of great role models there for kind of the personal integrity and the technical communication side of things, and just the approach to talking to other people. I really appreciated there. And that's something that I kind of picked up along the way too. You know, I've got managers that mentored me along the way that really, served as good role models to remind you what that, like, how to interact well with other people in a professional environment.
Now we're going to shift gears a little bit and try to understand more about what a typical day or week looks like for you. So a couple of questions I have are, like, what time does your day start and end? How many hours a week do you work? And do you work a lot of late nights or weekends? And how do you spend most of your time during the day?
Okay. So my job, I've got a lot of flexibility in my schedule. So recently I've been, you know, work starts at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm on it's like a 980 schedule. So it's like you work 44 hours one week and 36 hours the next week, and you can take every other Friday off, essentially. So you get 80 hours across 2 weeks, but only 9 days. So that's 9-hour days, except for one that's 8. And, you know, you know, sometimes it's sitting, my work has a lot of flexibility. I'm moving between a lot of different buildings. The company I work for has a fairly large campus. And so I'm walking between different offices some of that time. They have a fairly flexible work from home program. So if I can, I try to work from home as much as I can. It helps save the commute time, which can be very valuable. You know, you don't have the same, you know, having it face-to-face interactions is certainly a valuable thing in the professional environment. So I try to make sure that, you know, I'm not missing out on that by only working from home. You know, I think it depends on the week in terms of what the individual day looks like. There's a lot of external driving factors, month-long technical tasks that need to be done. And so there are some phases there where the week is taken up with meetings the whole time, or transitioning between meetings when you're out briefing results or getting kind of a status check with people. At other times, it's a lot of working at the computer, doing coding in one form or another, or reviewing documents, trying to plan out like what your tasks are for the future. What are the things that you need to ask from other people? What are the outstanding asks to you?
What is your favorite aspect and least favorite aspect?
So, you know, I think my favorite aspect is I have the opportunity to really apply some technical knowledge that I have and be really good at my job. You know, I know a lot about my particular subject area, and it's really satisfying to be an expert in that and be able to apply that expertise. You know, I think the least favorite aspect of my job, you know, there's a lot of, sometimes well, that's an awkward question. but, you know, I think some of it is particular to my department. We're relatively new, and so we're still feeling out where we sit in a fairly large company. And what that means is that we are dependent on a lot of other parts of our company to provide us support, but they aren't used to doing that. And so sometimes the frustrating parts can be continually asking other people for help and not receiving it because they don't necessarily feel like they have to at this point. You know, it's not something that they see in their job category. So, you know, the larger the company you work for, the more you encounter that, in my experience. Maybe it's not 100% of the time, but, you know, that's what I'm experiencing right now.
What are some of the technical skills and the soft skills required in your day-to-day job? And what are some ways to acquire these or start acquiring these earlier on, maybe in high school or college?
Okay. So technical skills and soft skills. Yeah. So, you know, my job, I had to pick up a lot of programming knowledge along the way. That was, you know, one of the main things that I assemble different scripts and different languages, different applications, and I'm building models and constructing things to run these simulations. So, you know, that's something that, you know, it's hard to necessarily give a more detailed answer on that than, you know, like programming's a really useful thing to know. Like, you know, Python is a fantastic language because it crosses a whole bunch of domains. But yeah, so, you know, I think like that's one thing, but, you know, it's also been really valuable to be able to parse technical data and read, you know, for my graduate student days, like we had to, or part of what I did then was I would do academic paper reviews. So I'd be reading papers from journals on technical subjects. And that was a fantastic way to get exposure to, you know, technical ideas that I was either curious about, hadn't heard about, or hadn't considered before. It was also a great way to just recognize good and bad arguments. You know, there's good writers out there, there's bad writers, and how even in the engineering world, like you still need to know how to make a good argument and convince someone that what you're doing is worth pursuing in the long run. So, you know, that kind of literature review and being able to parse through technical information and find the pieces that are relevant for you, that's like, yeah, that's going to be applicable to a lot of people. And, you know, I think at the high school level, you're still getting trained for being able to do just that through your coursework. You know, on the soft skill side, like there's a lot of opportunities at companies to go through mentorship programs. So like one company I worked for, they had one where they had an early career development network where like they would create a community of recent hires or recent graduates and have a forum for them to interact and talk about their experiences across a, you know, it was a 4,000 person company there that spanned the nation. And, you know, it also provided opportunities for them to hear about, like, to connect with more established engineers or other professionals at the company as well. So there's that opportunity to build those mentoring relationships. So, you know, taking advantage of those, if it's something that sounds interesting to you, like, I think that's probably a good move. There's a lot of people that have benefited from that. That being said, like, it's okay if you don't, like, it's not a requirement to succeed, but it can be handy if that's the kind of, you know, if you're looking for more interactions and insight into what career futures might look at, like, wherever you are.
What types of growth opportunities are available in your profession? And as an extension off of that, where do you see the trajectory of this industry in the next few years, few decades? And what extension off of that, what different steps do you take, such as maybe like reading journals to stay ahead of the industry?
Sure. So, So I think, like, in terms of personal career trajectories in my area, like, there's, in my engineering area, there's basically three ways that you end up going. So you can kind of become a subject matter expert who is really focusing on the technical details and kind of does that for as long as they can. There's kind of the management track, which kind of gets more into the business development side. I mean, sometimes that mixes. So, you know, you end up being more focused on, like, the customer interactions, understanding what the customer wants, and then translating that back to the engineers to kind of solidify those ideas and responses. I kind of combined two of those there. There's, like, the management track, and then there's the program facing track and the engineering track. That's the three that I'd kind of split it into. So I've been trying to really follow the engineering one. You know, I've had opportunities to go into management. I've had opportunities to go into program office kind of positions where I'm kind of focusing on what the customer is asking for rather than how to implement the solution. And, you know, my experiences with those haven't, like, I didn't really have a lot of appetite for them. And so after shifting around a couple of times, I kind of came back to the engineering side of things. In terms of staying ahead of the industry, you know, there's, depending on how technical you end up going, like, you know, staying in touch with the journals that are relevant is always a good idea. You know, I've worked for four different major aerospace companies at this point. So I've got a kind of a network of connections that span that group. And so I have a decent sense of what other people are doing and how interesting that stuff is. You know, academic conferences are also a great way to share that kind of information. There's also professional conferences as well, or, like, you know, if you end up having to use a particular application, sometimes they have user group meetings that, you know, last a couple of days, and you've got the opportunity to present, like, this is something I was able to do with your widget, or hear what someone else did, or get updates on how best to apply it.
What is your perspective of, because you said you pursued both undergraduate and then a PhD in mechanical engineering, what is your perspective on sort of the more sciencey aspect instead of researchy, and then maybe even becoming a professor at some institution?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the things that I thought about when I got out of grad school. I was thinking, like, you know, my advisor, he actually was in industry for about 10 years, and then he transitioned over to academia after that. And so I was kind of thinking I'd evaluate after some time, like, you know, I'd go to industry, get some hands-on experience, and then think about, like, a decade. So I guess right about now, if I wanted to go be an academic somewhere. You know, I think being an academic is, like, you get a taste of it in grad school, and writing papers can be a lot of fun. Kind of the luxury of deciding the problems that you want to pursue can be really interesting and satisfying in its own way, but you still end up being kind of beholden to whatever funding source you can get. And chasing funding is not something that has ever really appealed to me. I've loved the opportunity to work with younger employees at whatever company I'm at, or to kind of have a technical mentoring relationship with them to help, it goes both ways, right? Like I learn a lot from the newer employees on, and they have great ideas about how we can change things that we've been doing maybe the same way for a while. But also, yeah, have an opportunity to expose them to kind of the unique pieces of, whatever our particular domain is that they didn't see in their prior experiences. So in some ways, like, I'm trying to have some of the pieces that I valued in academia of those, you know, interacting with students and learning something collaboratively. Like I'm trying to find a way to make that work where I am. And so far it's been pretty successful.
On the topic of success, how do you personally define success? Or like rephrasing that question, how do you define someone that you, like, what are the characteristics that make up a person that you look up to maybe in your company from the past that's like in this specific way?
I think the people that I look up to are ones that have a lot of demonstrated technical depth and still find a way to show a lot of respect for their fellow employees or other people in the room. It's all too often there's are people that like are very self-confident in their own abilities and they end up controlling the room and kind of dominating the conversation about stuff. And so it can be really difficult, especially as those individuals end up, you know, a lot of them end up in leadership positions, and that's okay. But I think a lot of the people that I would consider successful are the ones that find the way to stand their ground in those cases when there's a disagreement. You know, there's for valid technical reasons, not just for, you know, being a stick in the mud.
Based on the discussion so far, it seems like you mentioned that photography and STEM or science, something that you've liked for a very long time, you've decided to pursue them until now. And we usually hear, like, high schoolers hear this statement, follow your passion, if they're asking an adult like what to do with their lives. What is your opinion on passion? And do you think it's extremely important to have a successful career? Or do you think it's something that changes as you?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much more to life than your career, right? Like, what makes me a happy person isn't the work that I do. Like, I love what I do, don't get that wrong. But the things that recharge me and kind of get me ready for the next week don't happen in the office. You know, it's the opportunity to have creative outlets. It's the opportunity to be outside or be with family and friends. That's really what kind of makes doing all this worthwhile. So
it's my sort of ultimate question. Do you have any advice for if there's somebody, not necessarily in high school, that's set on becoming mechanical engineer, or specifically like a space aerospace engineer, any advice for them?
People thinking about going into mechanical engineering or space kind of stuff, oh my goodness, you need to know math. So that also, like, most of the engineering there and like a lot of mechanical engineering, like, it was great in undergrad where you were making lots of hands-on projects. You'd go into like a 3D drafting program and you'd come up with your bridge design. I think I did a project on that once. And then you'd have the responsibility of like making it with your hands, right? You'd have to assemble it and make all the pieces and, you know, hopefully your stress analysis turned out correct. But you know, in my particular field, a lot of the engineering happens on systems that you can't touch. And so you have to think about things in a little bit more abstract way. I appreciate that, but it's something to be ready for. Not every engineer gets to touch the problem that they're working on.
The last question I have is, do you have any final comments with regards to this topic or any questions you feel that I didn't ask that you would like to answer?
No, this is a fantastic opportunity. I'm really glad you reached out, Swanick. You know, having someone do the legwork to think about this kind of stuff and get the perspective from like someone who's nearer to that transition. Like that's fantastic. So, you know, on behalf of everybody else who benefits from your work here, thank you, I guess.
Thank you, Dr. Norman, for the valuable inputs and for your time.
Nice talking to you, and good luck.
I hope you guys enjoyed hearing about the mechanical engineering field. Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your valuable time with this podcast. I hope you found this useful. To get notified about future episodes, please subscribe or follow Pathfinder 101 on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Also, please visit Pathfinder101.com for more content. If the blog or podcast added some value to you, please like and share with your friends and colleagues. Thanks again for your time, and have a great rest of your day.